Here for just a minute, but while we're waiting, you could turn to the book of Jonah. If you read that, or if you sing that song to try and locate it, like I do, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. So we'll be in Jonah, not covering that thoroughly, but some principles from there. But then also the first verse that we're going to take a look at in a few moments is from the Gospel of John, chapter 7. The Gospel of John, chapter 7. Jesus told wonderful stories. Some of them were called parables, and they were to illustrate biblical truth and to be known by some but not understood by others. He was the greatest storyteller ever, and I am not. But sometimes at school I say, okay, story time. So Lord willing, this will illustrate something that will be a biblical truth, hopefully that will be brought out. Sometimes I get carried away with an illustration, and when my wife used to sit down there, I'd be like, okay, what was I illustrating? Because if you give the illustration and don't share biblically what it's pointing to, the illustration is really of no value. So see, we always have room to learn, right, Vera? So in any event, this is actually a true story, and it is a story that I don't remember from personal experience, but I was involved in it. But I certainly have heard it over and over again from siblings. We just at Easter time had an opportunity to go down to Richmond. And in any event, I have an older brother whose name is Dan or Danny. And of course, I was Tommy, still am to some folks. And then an older sister. My brother's 2 years older than me. Then my older sister's 4 years older than me. And then I've got a younger sister in this story who was not in existence yet. She's 8 years younger than me. And she was the caboose in our family. So I was the spoiled baby for a couple years. In any event, what happened was one day I was a little shaver. I still am a little shaver, but I was smaller then, about maybe this high and things. And one day I was called up into the bedroom where we slept with my siblings. And Mom and Dad were there. And I was used to getting called out by Mom, but when Dad was there, it kind of had a little different bearing on things. So I was wondering what was going on there. And anyway, they said, nice coloring on the wall here, nice mural. And they said, as only a father can, who did this? And my brother said, Tommy! So what happened after that was, and I really don't remember this, but I was told that my father applied the Board of Education to the seat of my learning. But that's not the end of the story. A little while later, same day, we're called up again. It's like, oh. And they said, Tommy, come on over here. And so I, see if I can kill this mic. I come on over, and Dad says, lift up your arm as high as you can go. Yeah. And they said, wow, you know, I don't think there's any way you could reach that. And Dad was saying, I wonder how that got there. And he was looking at Danny. And Danny was turning bright red. And Danny got the Board of Education applied to the seat of learning for himself as well. Now, Danny obviously lied, all right? And we all have trouble like this. I'm not picking on Danny. I've had my share as well. God says that we're all sinners. But, you know, Danny was old enough. He had been instructed not to color on the wall. And so he had been disobedient. And, you know, lying is sin. Disobedience is sin. We talked a little bit about that in the adult Sunday school class today. Disobedience is sin, and God sometimes deals with it. He always deals with it. But, you know, I don't like to end on the bad news. The good news is that obedience is right, and God always blesses obedience. Lord willing, we're going to talk about that today in line of the baptisms coming up. But there's another verse in there that talks about, and it's in Numbers 32, 23, and it says this: be sure your sins will what? They'll find you out. God knows, right? Even before we do them, He knows everything. That's our God.
Story, Pastor Michael.
That was a true story.
Yeah.
It was a true story.
Where are we anyway?
Well, we're in the tropics because it's going to be about 80 today. What do you think?
I'll have to put my suntan lotion on.
Yeah, you will. Maybe.
I don't want to be a red dog.
No, you're a blue dog. Yeah. We're at Sting Valley Bible Church.
Oh, and you're interrupting. I remember this place.
You're interrupting Blue.
I'm sorry, I was just like hanging out, and I'm here.
Well, a good interruption, I think.
Yeah. Okay,
so anyway, what are we doing here?
Well, I was just here looking at these beautiful, beautiful people.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And I don't, what are you doing?
Well, I'm supposed to be preaching, but I'm talking to you right now.
Oh, is that why you're up here?
That's why I'm up here.
Why am I up here?
You gotta be careful who you let up here, you know.
Yeah.
So, did you hear about Danny?
I did. Boy, oh boy. Danny wasn't a very good boy, was he?
He wasn't obedient, he was not at this time. But, you know, we all struggle with that. So, I'm not really down on my brother. You know, just using it as an example. I've been disobedient, too.
Me, too.
You have?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know what? That reminds me of the preaching for today. And it reminds me of someone in the Bible.
Who?
Well, I think when you came out, I couldn't hear you too well, but I think you were humming a tune about it.
I was?
You were, yes. You were humming a tune about a man named Jonah, and he's a guy that was in the Bible. That's a true story. There was a real man named Jonah.
I remember that story. He's the one that built the boat for all those animals.
Is that right, Joe? Did Jonah build the boat for all the animals?
No.
Blue, you're a little confused. I get confused sometimes too, though.
Well, who was he then?
The man who built the boat was Noah.
Oh, that's right. I knew that.
The man you were singing about is Jonah, and he had a different kind of boat that he was involved with.
Oh, yeah, he had a fish boat.
Yeah, it was a great fish.
Yeah.
It was a great fish. Yep.
Hey, could we ever sing that song?
Yeah, do you think maybe we could teach the chorus to some of the kids?
Oh, I think we could.
Some of them heard it in school a week ago or so, so I think they'll know it, so this is a test for them.
We've got good singers here, too.
I warned them that they're going to get a little repeat on this.
Okay.
All right, can we try the chorus first?
Sure.
Ready?
Jonah did not obey God immediately. Jonah, down in the depths of the deep blue sea. Hey, that's got my name in it.
Yeah, it's the Blue Sea.
The Blue Sea.
I need to catch on to that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there's some verses, too.
Yeah.
How about we'll try and sing the verses, and then everybody can join us on the chorus.
That's great.
Ready? Can we do that?
Sure.
Come
and listen to my fearful tale of the ocean blue. How a man got swallowed by a whale. Yes, I know it's true. Jonah did not obey God immediately. Jonah, down in the depths of the deep blue sea. And a great big fish that God had made swallowed Jonah. But the Lord heard Jonah as he prayed, rescue my poor soul. Jonah, did not obey God immediately. Jonah, down in the depths of the deep blue sea.
You know, Blue, you're really getting into this. So you're sure not a pig, you're kind of hamming it up.
Oh.
Now, you look a little sad. What's the matter?
Well, that just reminded me of something.
Well, it doesn't sound like it reminded you of anything good.
No. I was bad.
Can you believe that Blue was ever bad?
Well, I don't know, you probably didn't know this, but I I flunked out of obedience school.
You flunked out of obedience school?
I did.
I didn't even know you went to obedience school.
I tried.
Did
I tried.
Did they have a remedial course?
You know what the problem is this nose.
Oh, what's wrong with your nose?
Well, I'm a hound dog. And I have to go after things. And I got on the scent of a cat. And so I got on the scent. And I'm following that cat like that. And then all of a sudden I heard it. Blue, come home. Oh, no. It was my master. He said, Blue, come home. I didn't know what to do. I kept looking. I got to do this. I'm sorry. I got to go do this. And so I got after that cat, and I got him way up a tree. It was great. But then I forgot, and I went home, and I looked really sad. I drooped down, wherever my tail is, I drooped my tail down real low, and I went like this. So I looked sorry. Mm. Don't I look sorry? I was sorry.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh boy, I'm going to get it now.
What'd you get?
Well, that's the thing.
What?
I thought he'd be mad. He wasn't mad.
He wasn't mad.
He was sad.
Oh,
that's worse.
That's worse sometimes. Yeah.
And so he didn't punish me. I thought maybe he'd lock me in a box or something. But instead, you know what he did?
What did he do?
Oh, 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 oh. I had to wear a leash for like a whole week. I couldn't just run beside him. I had to wear a leash. I hate leashes.
Oh, so that was effective, wasn't it?
It sure was. I didn't run again. I'm telling you.
Okay, all right. So it was effective.
It was.
That's kind of interesting, Blue. You know, when we're disobedient, we make God sad. That's something to think about, isn't it? But when we're obedient, we make him glad.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a good thing.
I learned my lesson. I think Jonah did too. I wouldn't have picked a leash, but I suppose Jonah wouldn't have picked a whale either.
How about, there's one more verse of that song.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I got it. If you try to run from God, beware. You'll discover too that the Lord above is everywhere, watching over you. Jonah did not obey God immediately. Jonah, down in the depths of the deep blue sea. I love that song.
We're going to talk a little bit about Jonah from the Bible now.
Okay, I'm ready.
So can you say goodbye?
Oh, I thought we were going to talk some more.
No, you're not going to talk anymore, Lou.
Oh, okay.
Remember,
does I have
leash
to go?
Remember the leash. Yeah, time to go.
Oh, that's right. I'm going.
I just thought I'd move that because it is sure to block somebody's line of view when somebody's getting baptized. All righty. So let's see where we are at here. That's a good song, and it reminds me of some truths in the Bible. We can't do justice to all the book of Jonah, although I always loved the minor prophets. Not that they're not important. That doesn't mean minor that they're not important. It means that they're usually shorter than the major prophets and things like that, and you can kind of get your arms around a little bit. So maybe even today, if you have time, maybe you could read all four chapters and get the rest of the story. But we'll touch on a few things today about Jonah and the big fish. Let's pray first. Our Father, we do thank you for your goodness to us always. And Lord, as we think about Jonah, as always, Lord, we're not here to condemn him for his disobedience, Father, but we're here to take to our own hearts and allow your Spirit to apply it to our lives about when we are disobedient. Not just, Lord, that disobedient hurts you and makes you sad and that you always deal with it, but Father, then the good news is that we can come to you and agree with you about that, and that's called confession and repentance, and that there's forgiveness because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you so much that the Bible is not just telling us bad news, but it does tell us the reality of sin and its results, but it also tells us the good news. And we praise you for that and pray that you'd bless as your word goes forth, continuing today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, Disney sometimes, you know, or Aesop's fables and things, some of them may be good, some of them are not so good. But they're kind of make-believe. It's not bad to make-believe as long as we know that we're pretending. But this story is a true story. It's found in the Bible. It actually happened. There was a man named Jonah. There is still a God, and there is still a Jonah as well. I believe probably Jonah is in heaven, but I'll not be dogmatic about that. That's another story for another time. But Jonah was a real man. Jonah was a real man who tried to do what we've probably all tried to do sometimes. Jonah was a real man who tried to run away from what he knew God wanted him to do. Jonah was a real man who tried to run away from what he knew God wanted him to do. And we think about that. Can we run away from what we know God wants us to do? And the answer is, as we look through Jonah, maybe for a little while. Maybe for a little while. But Jonah found out that you cannot run away from God forever. And for the Christian, that's a great blessing. For those who are not saved, you cannot run away from God forever. Sooner or later, you'll be reminded that not only does God always know where you are, but God also knows what you are doing, what you are not doing, and not just that, he knows why. And so if you would, if you have your Bibles there, or I'll read it for you. Let's turn to John 7 and verse 17. I want to share something, and this is from God's Word, obviously, John 7 and verse 17. But before I read that verse is special to me because after I was first saved, I got saved after I graduated from college that same year, and this verse sprang out to me. You know how that works? You know, I don't know, the Holy Spirit just brings it out because I was a little confused about the verse. But any of you ever read devotions by Oswald Chambers? I have a devotional Bible, and he's just a commentator and things like that. I believe he's with the Lord now. But a man named Oswald Chambers, and of course, he's not God, he's not perfect, but I was reading through a devotional book on him, and he's the kind of guy that when you read, at least for me, it's like, I've got to read it, then I've got to go back, and I've got to read it again and chew on it. It's like, Lord, I'm not sure what's going on here. He's kind of a deep guy, at least for me. So I want to try and read this little paragraph slowly that he wrote about. He said this, the golden rule for understanding spiritually. The golden rule for spiritual understanding is not intellect, it's obedience. If a man wants scientific knowledge, intellectual curiosity is his guide. But if he wants insight into Jesus Christ and what Jesus teaches, he can only get it by obedience. He went on to say this, if things are dark to me or unclear, then I may be sure that there is something I will not do that God tells me to do. Then he said this, intellectual darkness comes through ignorance. Spiritual darkness comes because of something I do not intend to obey. No man ever receives a word from God without instantly being put to the test over it. We disobey and then wonder why we don't go on spiritually. End of what Oswald Chambers said. I kind of like the cookies on the bottom shelf. And so I use crazy examples. Maybe they're not as good. They're not as eloquent as what he said, and certainly far from the power of the Word of God. But I think about that as a parent or as a grandparent. I'll often say, you know, if you want to teach your child to brush their teeth and also drive the car, if they're not brushing their teeth, you're not going to teach them to drive the car type thing. You know, we move from lesser to greater. And yes, children act like children because they're children, but then we need to mature and grow. In the same way with us as we become a child of God and growing spiritually. But that reminds me of John 7 and verse 17. And that verse says this, if any man will what? If any man will do God's will, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or, now the Apostle John was used of God to write this. God's word says this, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. In other words, is John just talking and it's just his word or is it God's word? And of course, it is God's word. So we could say that like this, if I will do God's will, I will know God's doctrine. God will bless me. Sometimes we think of blessing, we think of just the material and things like that. But God blesses obedience, and he blesses it in our minds, but beyond that, in our hearts, our feelings, our will. and things like that. So if any man will do God's will, he shall know the doctrine, whether it be of God or not, basically, is what it's saying. Okay, so let's get back to Jonah. Jonah was disobedient, unquestionably. Think about this. Where did God tell Jonah to go, and what did God tell Jonah to do? So from our Sunday school class over the last couple months, who took the 10 northern tribes captive? Assyria, okay? So there's a little review, right? Who took the two southern tribes captive? Babylon. But we're going to talk about Assyria today. Why? Because God told Jonah to go to preach to the people of Nineveh. You know that? The Nineveh was the capital of Assyria. So there's a lot here, and as we mentioned in Sunday school this morning about studying all of Scripture to put these things together and the Lord speaking to our hearts. So Jonah was to go to Nineveh. Nineveh was the capital city of the empire of Assyria, and Assyria was an enemy of Israel. In fact, God was going to allow Assyria to overtake the 10 northern tribes and take them captive. And we know kind of the end of that story. And God told Jonah to go to preach to the people of Nineveh. But Jonah didn't like the people of Nineveh. So, Jonah thought, I'll just do what I want to do instead of what I know God has told me to do. So here's a question. Did God know about this? Duh. Yes. God knows our very thoughts. God knew all about us before we even conceived. How about this question? Did God let Jonah know that God knew what Jonah was doing? You bet he did. God can get our attention very quickly. So God sends a storm on the sea that he created. God sent a great fish or a whale that he created. And he sent these to minister to Jonah, who he created, and also to other men on the ship, who he also created. Interesting. So what about these other sailors that were with Jonah on the ship? The shipmaster comes to Jonah, and I'm skipping part of the story, realize that. You can read it all for your own, but we're just going to draw out some principles here as we head into a baptism here. In Jonah 1 and verse 6, the shipmaster comes to Jonah as they're in this torrential, and I had the privilege to be on the Sea of Galilee. That was a blessing. I don't know exactly where they were here. But the shipmaster comes, the captain of the ship comes to Jonah, who was sacked out in the ship. And the shipmaster comes to Jonah. Now, I don't know, I've never been on a cruise, but if you're on a cruise and whoever the captain of that ship is, if they come to you, it would probably get our attention. But the captain of that ship was coming, but the captain of captains was also overseeing this whole thing. Amazing as we think about that. And this shipmaster comes to Jonah in chapter 1 and verse 6. God records it for us. And the shipmaster says to Jonah, "What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not." So you think about that, if you can think about the Titanic or whatnot, and you're on this ship and the captain says, "Hey, would you pray? Because I'm afraid we're going to die." That's basically what's going on there. And then the sailors asked Jonah some questions. And Jonah told them this, interestingly. Chapter 1 and verse 9. He says, "I am a Hebrew, and I," what? Excuse me. "I fear the Lord, the God of heaven. I'm one of God's chosen people." I fear the Lord, the God of heaven. The God who has allowed all of this. Interesting to think about that. I mentioned that about the fear of the Lord in Sunday school and said, think about that as we get to the message, and here it is. Interesting. Jonah said that he feared the Lord, but here's a question. Did he fear the Lord enough to obey even when his flesh did not feel like obeying? But you know, as I was thinking through this again, I thought about this. God is not bound by our obedience, and God is not bound by our disobedience. We need God. He doesn't need us. It is our privilege to work, to serve, But it's we who need God. We cannot do without him. We cannot do without him. I need Jesus, an old song. God is not bound by our obedience or our disobedience. And you know what? It's really neat to take a look at all these things. I think in heaven we'll just kind of be regaling all the stories and all the, you know, the pebble thrown in the sea and all the people and the ways that folks were affected that we had no clue about, but God knew it all. You ever think about that about your life? Only God can keep all of this stuff and work it together for good. To them who love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. The Lord used these things in the lives of the sailors as well. I wonder if in heaven we'll get to talk to one of these sailors. I don't know, just maybe a sanctified imagination or whatnot. But in Jonah chapter 1 again, the Bible states that the men knew that Jonah fled from the presence of the Lord because Jonah had told them he had fled. And then it says this, the men feared the Lord exceedingly. Interesting. There are so many great principles in the little book of Jonah. There's that, the fear of the Lord and things. Are we really fearing the Lord or not? It's not just a reverence. To fear God is also to love the things that God loves and hate the things that God hates. And boy, we ought to hate disobedience and sin, and especially our own sin and disobedience, especially. But let's move on to maybe another principle. So many principles in this book. Think about talking with God and the privilege that we have that we can come boldly to God's throne, and it's a throne of grace. And why God tells us to say that we are praying in Jesus' name, because that is the only way we can get there. It's not our own righteousness that's getting there. If we are saved, it's the righteousness of Christ applied to our account. He is our great high priest. We have direct access to God always because of Jesus Christ. What a blessing that is. What a privilege prayer is. So where's Jonah for this prayer? He is, true story, in the belly of a great fish. Think God has had his attention. And it says this in chapter 2. Jonah says this, I cried by reason of mine affliction. How about that, Sunday school class? There we go. Crying to the Lord because of affliction and trials. Yep, it's frustrating, isn't it? That sometimes it takes trials to have us cry to the Lord like we ought to. But it really is true, human nature, broken world, all that kind of thing. But in Jonah chapter 2, Jonah says, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord. And what? Blessing of blessings. He heard me. He heard me. And Jonah also said this, when my soul, my mind, my will, my emotions, when my soul fainted within me, I remember the Lord. You know, the Lord is the only one that can go with us through everything. Not my mama, not my daddy, not my kids, not my parents, not my cousin, not my whoever pastor. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Emmanuel, God with us, even in the belly of a great fish. Two-edged sword. He sees when we disobey. It doesn't surprise him. He sees when we obey. When my soul fainted within me, I remember the Lord. And then Jonah said this. He said, salvation is of the Lord. Could we all say that together? Ready? Salvation is of the Lord. For by grace are you saved through faith. That's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works that God hath ordained before, that we should walk in them. That's just the whole thing about works. Our works have nothing to do with our salvation or staying saved. It is only the work of Christ. It is only the work of Christ. And that work was finished on the cross. He didn't stay dead. He rose from the dead. And we just celebrated that not too long ago, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you see at the right hand of God the Father. And he's making intercession for us. Praise God. Against the accuser of the brethren. Anyway, Jonah said, salvation is of the Lord. And I think about that prayer. What a privilege. God loves to have us talk with him. God is always working for our good and for his glory. And God can use affliction to get us to turn back to him. If we're saved, not to get resaved, because he keeps us saved, the Lord Jesus Christ does, but to turn back to him. Indeed, salvation is of the Lord. So we can think of salvation in two different ways. The primary way is this: salvation like what we usually think about, and the most important salvation is salvation from the penalty of our sins, becoming born again, getting saved. And I'm not going to emphasize that today. We're going to talk a little bit more about baptism, but salvation. That I know that I'm a sinner, God says so. That I know because of my sin, I deserve to be separated from God, because there's no sin in heaven. It's a perfect place with a perfect Savior. So I'm in trouble. I need help. And I can't work my way out of it. That's why Jesus came and did what he did. Lived a perfect life. Showed himself to be sinless. Proved that to us. Didn't die for his sin, but chose to die and lay down his life and shed his blood for us. As many as received him, to them gave you power to become a child of God. But there's also salvation that we need as a Christian. Salvation from what? Impatience. Salvation from disobedience. And I'm not pointing fingers at anybody. Have I been disobedient this past week? Yeah. Not proud of that. Just have I been impatient this past week? Oh, you bet. I need salvation from that. I need to allow the Lord to show the difference that is supernatural. Because it's natural to be impatient and crabby and, it's too cold, it's too hot, we're going to be here to say that this week, aren't we? It's too hot, so quick. Doesn't God know what he's doing? Yes, he does. He's reminding us that we're to do all things without murmurings and disputings. Have I complained this week? You bet. I need salvation from that. Because people need to see the reality of a life that is changed and changed and become more like Jesus. An intimate relationship. I need salvation from prayerlessness at times. And you know, in Jonah's case here, I don't know whether he was saved or not, but he needed salvation from being digested by a great fish. It really is true. When we're in trouble, who do we call out to? Hey, mom can't help me. Dad can't. Kids can't help me. Pastor can't help me. Lord, help. Sometimes they are the most effective and fervent prayers that we pray. I won't go into numerous examples that I could give personally of myself calling out to God in prayer like that. Jonah knew that God was creator of that storm, of the sea, of the shipmaster, of the fellow sailors with him, of the great fish. And you know when I think came home to him again? Jonah knew that God was the creator of him. And he knew indeed that God was love. If you think about this, I'll try to mention it at the end, but we think about all this and we're thinking about Jonah and the other sailors and the captain, but don't miss when we read the Word of God. The whole book is about Jesus Christ, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Don't miss about thinking about God and God, his love and his long-suffering. The love and long-suffering of God for the Ninevites. Not that we should presume upon another chance. The love and long-suffering of God for Jonah. And we're not here to condemn Jonah. We're here to say, I see myself in Jonah. And praise God for your love and long-suffering for me. So, Jonah, the Bible puts it, was vomited up by the great whale. God delivered him. God saved him from the belly of the great whale. So Jonah went and preached to the Ninevites. I don't know what his spirit and attitude was then. I would imagine humbled. But interesting, I remember the first time I read this after I was saved. What happened? What happened? There was a revival in Nineveh. The people believed from the king on down. They believed God's word. They repented from their sin. And God forgave them. There was revival. And then what happened? Particularly with Jonah. And God's word says in chapter 4, verse 1 of Jonah, that this displeased Jonah exceedingly. Ooh. And I read that when I was first saved, and it's like, what? Repentance of anyone should never displease God's people. Now, you know, humanly speaking, it's like, oh, was it real? Sometimes I get annoyed. Oh, well, that was just a deathbed conversion, or all prisoners get born again. Well, I get it. There's false professions, but we don't know. We don't know because we don't know hearts, but God does. Repentance of anyone should never displease God's people. Jonah had a lot of problems, didn't he? And so do we. Jonah had a problem with spiritual pride. And we could go on and on about this. But you know, Jonah was rebuked actually by the Ninevites' repentance because they repented. And it looks here like Jonah still needed some repentance to do. And we don't know everything about Jonah, but we know these four chapters about him. And I always think, aren't I glad that God hasn't written four chapters about me? But God has them all written down. He knows. He just didn't inscripturate them for everybody else to read about. So let's not condemn Jonah. But let's finish out what God has chosen here, at least to share today. Jonah had a problem with spiritual pride. We're all pretty good about taking care of ourselves and thinking about the big I, right? Instead of Jesus and others. Jonah had a problem with spiritual pride. He was rebuked by the Ninevites' response to God. Then said the Lord, chapter 4, verse 4. And I don't know how he said this. But he said this. Doest thou well to be angry? That's a rhetorical question. Then God prepared, some translations say a gourd, some kind of a plant. Guess who's the creator of that? God is. And he prepared a worm. What did the plant do? It shielded Jonah from the sun. Think about that today, tomorrow, this week, because we're in the 80s, okay? And then God also prepared, because God's mean, right? No. He prepared a worm. Jonah was enjoying that shade. The worm ate the shade. Jonah struggled with the circumstances of life. And God said, I am the author of those circumstances. Your problem's not with the worm. It's not with the plant. It's not with the... The problem is with you, Jonah. And again, God brings him to a holy confrontation with himself. And God says to him, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And Jonah said, I do well to be angry even unto death. And if you were God, you're done. Not proud of that, but thank God for his love and long suffering. But God does draw lines, doesn't he? We read elsewhere in Scripture that some that said, Lord, Lord, will be cast away from the Lord Jesus Christ forever. There is the reality of hell and lake of fire. So we should not presume upon the Lord. Jonah says, I do well to be angry even unto death. Then the last two verses, chapter 4 of Jonah, verses 10 to 11, then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd or the plant for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? All these people, and all Jonah could think about was himself and the little difficulty he was having because of the sun. Not making light of that. But God's will and way is always best, even if we don't understand it. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, lean not unto your own understanding, but in all your ways, what? Acknowledge, acknowledge, acknowledge. Jonah mourned the death of a gourd, a plant, more than he thought he would mourn the death of the Ninevites, even children Ninevites. And so I think about this, the love and long-suffering of God for the Ninevites, for Jonah, and for me. Salvation is of the Lord. Disobedience is sin. God always deals with it, sooner or later. But obedience is right, and God always blesses obedience. Let's pray. Our Father, Lord, we see this, and it's a story, and a lot of folks love the story of Jonah for children, but it's not just for children, it's for all of us, Father. And Lord, we all struggle with disobedience. We are all sinful. But if we're saved, we are saved sinners. We haven't arrived. We have room to grow. So Lord, if there's something clearly that you have directed us do or not do, and we are disobedient, Father, your Spirit can take that and apply it to our hearts. But Father, help us not to hold on to sin, but Father, to, as it were, throw up our hands and just agree with you about that, and by faith, obey to either do or not do. But even as we talked about in Sunday school, as we worship, Lord, that it needs to come from our hearts. We know you can make us do things, but you are a God of grace, mercy, and peace, and we are not puppets, Father. So I pray for each one here today. We all have room to grow, Lord. Whatever next step you have for us, Father, help us to be willing to take it for your glory by the power of your Spirit. If there be one here that is not saved or not sure about that, Father, we pray that they would even have a heart that you are opening and softening to be saved today. Or, Lord, step by step, as your word is planted and watered, Father, we trust you to give the increase in your own time. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to move to baptism here a little bit. This was not a message specifically on water baptism. It's going to do a quick run through on baptism, if you will. Kind of like the why, what, where, how, and all that kind of thing. So I'm going to go through it too fast for you to take notes. If you want to take notes, so again, I would be glad to share these notes with you. Of course, you can read your Bible for yourself too. But why be baptized? I was looking this morning a little bit by Matthew 28, 19, and 20 in various places for all of these things. But just a matter of obedience, okay? Just a matter of God said to. God actually commands us to be baptized after we're saved. Who should be baptized? Acts 8, one place, 36, 37. Only those who are saved who've received Jesus Christ as their Savior for reasons that we'll see here in just a moment. How to be baptized? Well, Jesus is our example, the way that he did. God's words that Jesus, after he was baptized, came up out of the water. There's a reason for that as well. Just like in Sunday school, we talked about the sacrifice in the Old Testament. There's a reason, because they pointed to Jesus Christ, the ultimate sacrifice. What is baptism? Perhaps the most important thing here. Baptism, Colossians 2:12 and other places, it's an identification of ourselves with Jesus Christ. It is a public testimony of our faith in Jesus Christ. Water baptism is a public declaration of what has happened previously, perhaps privately. Salvation is a very personal, intimate thing. It's a personal confrontation with God. Sometimes folks get saved in a church service, sometimes at home alone, sometimes gospel tract, different things God uses. But it's also a picture, and you can take a look at that, at the past, the present, and the future of the death, the burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. When to be baptized, Acts 16, again, after salvation. Where to do it? Where to do it? Acts 2, 41 to 42, under the direction as part of a local church where, frankly, we intend to join. And it was my privilege to talk to Dave and Anna last Sunday night. And they said, so how do we join the church? Oh, that's a good question. We like to hear that question. Where folks intend to join afterwards. So in any event, water baptism is not something that saves your soul. Jesus Christ saves souls. Water baptism just shows publicly that we have been saved. Now, I talked to our shy folks. We have three folks getting baptized today, I think. We'll see. And they all, I said, well, we'd like to hear your testimony. And they all looked like Danny did. And I said, well, if you'd write them out for me, I'll read them, all right? So I'll do my best to read them. So Dave Jones, he sent this to me this week by messenger, and he said this: I would have to say that I was spiritually lost before I was offered a treat at the bus stop at Steam Valley Bible Church, and my family and I were invited to attend church there. That was 6 years ago. Since then, I've learned a great deal from attending church and being discipled here. This has taught me a lot about the Bible and about Jesus. In October 2021, Evangelist Mike Pelletier was invited to speak at Steam Valley Bible Church, and it was at one of those evening meetings that I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. My life has been forever changed for the better. So that is a blessing. Maybe a little story. As I met with Mike one time, I forget when, I'm sorry, as I met with Brother Dave, and he apologized to me, he said, I should have gotten saved either when you or Pastor Josh were preaching. Here you're preaching all the time, and I got saved. And I said, we are glad for you to get saved whenever the Lord moves in your heart. But I thought that was kind of sweet, so hope that didn't embarrass you. So, Anna, this is an interesting story. Same night, not knowing that her husband was coming to faith in Jesus Christ for salvation, Anna had come too. And afterwards, they found out that she had received Christ as her Savior as well. Could I, as a grandpa, spend a little more time on Samuel? I looked at the famous note guy because I can't remember things. And believe it or not, I had a note on Samuel. As time goes by, I'm having less and less current notes. But I had a note here, Saturday, January 11th, 2020. Jennifer called us. She said that Samuel told them that he had prayed to receive Jesus as a Savior. He had asked Jennifer to read a gospel tract that was entitled Barry the Heroic Dot, which someone had read to him at his request after one of the children's clubs. And that was a few weeks before this. And after Jennifer read the tract with Sammy, he asked if he could get saved. And then he ran and told his dad, then James, and now he wanted to tell us. And then I love this, Sunday school teachers and others, you know, all of our ministry, all the body work together. On Sunday, January 12, 2020, his Sunday school teacher at that time, Marlene Hughes, told us that he told her. That's exciting. Just because I don't know. So anyway, last Sunday, I'm the grandfather. How about that? April 21st, Samuel went with the deacons and pastors after the morning service, and he was calm and cool. No, I thought he was going to have a heart attack. I wanted to give him a hug, but I thought, Grandpa, just shut up. See, God does work. I was quiet. Anyway, he was holding a track. Guess which one it was? Barry and the Heroic Dog. It was kind of tattered. I don't know if it was the original one or not. But this is what he said. I thought this was interesting. He said, there's a good guy team. That's Jesus and all the people who have chosen him. Then he said this, there's a bad guy team. I have chosen Jesus because I want to be with him forever and not with my sins forever. So that was good. But of course, Grandpa got with him on Monday, this past Monday. So let me just read what I wrote down. I met with Samuel, prayed with him, and talked with him a little bit about sin and repentance. You know, something that is a good concern is, as a parent, as a grandparent, you can tell kids what to say, and many times they're obedient, sometimes to a fault at that age, and they'll just repeat something, but you know, it has to come from the heart. And you can repeat something that sounds good, but they don't really get saved and things like that. So you try to have wisdom and discernment. So that's what I was trying to do here. Not at all, Sammy, that I doubted or anything, just trying to share scripture with you. But I asked him if he could name someone in the Bible who believed in Jesus, but who did not repent. He talked in Sunday school about John the Baptist, the forerunner, baptism, repentance, and belief, Jesus Christ, the truth. And I had him read from James 2:19, in which Jesus himself speaks of demons who believed. And the Bible says, they believed and they trembled, they shuddered. I just talked with Sam a little bit about the fact that we can believe in our head, but if it's genuine faith in Christ, we don't just believe in our head, but our heart. And though we don't become perfect, we begin to have more and more of a desire as we grow in Christ, if there's been a real work of grace in our lives. Many places in the scripture, I just mentioned to Samuel that Jesus in the Gospels talked to demons. And I said to Samuel, are those demons in heaven? Nope. They knew Jesus. They believed in him for sure, but it was just here. It wasn't here. They didn't submit or surrender to him. They didn't humble themselves before him. And then we talked briefly about becoming a child of God, being saved and kept saved by Jesus, and the difference between that and restoring our fellowship with Jesus when we sin. We don't lose our salvation, but our fellowship is broken. Sometimes we break fellowship with mom or dad or with grandpa or whatnot. It's not all your fault because mom and dad and grandpa aren't perfect either. Grandma is, but no, just kidding. But in any event, just sharing with him about fellowship in 1 John 1:9. There's nothing good about sin, but when we confess our sin, we remember that we're saved sinners, but that God is the Savior of saved. Samuel gave, to me, good evidence of understanding of these truths. So, before you guys leave to get changed, and I will as well, Brother Will is going to come a little bit in just a minute, but I believe it's important to give a charge to the folks who are getting saved. So this is for Dave and Anna and Samuel. All righty. Public identification with Jesus Christ. And when we get saved, the Bible says we are buried together with him in the likeness of his death and raised again to what? To just live like we always have. No, to walk in newness of life, okay? So now these three folks are going public with the fact that they have received Christ as Savior. They're obeying the Lord. And as we talked about with Jonah, God does bless obedience. But perhaps some of you have experienced this past week that the devil is not happy with us stepping out for the Lord. And so I say that because Satan hates it when we step out for the Lord and obey him and grow in Christlikeness. So I would just challenge you and charge you to read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. Lose your Bible, forget to pray, and you'll shrink, shrink, shrink. Not that you'll lose your salvation. I just charge you with that and your prayer life and all these things. But then I'd like to charge Steam Valley Bible Church as well. I want to say this so that we do not forget this. I grew up in a church. There was never anyone who got saved or there was a testimony of someone getting saved or born again. I'm not love those people and things like that too. But we need to praise and thank the Lord, and I believe we have been and are, that, as Vera said, God is working in and through this local assembly. He is giving the increase. We don't save anybody, and we ought not to take that for granted. People are lost and dying to go to hell, dying, going to hell by the droves. And so there's a battle, but we ought to be encouraged about what God is doing here and give him all the glory for that. But these three folks that are getting baptized today are going to need our support, more, perhaps more than ever, as they step out. So I'm going to ask you, if you will, in a moment to raise your hand and these three folks can look around. All right, we're not perfect either. But would you pray for them? Would you love them? Would you help them in tangible ways to grow spiritually? Seek to be a growing example of what it means to love the Lord Jesus Christ. Not perfection. If you'll seek to do that, would you raise your hand as testimony? So praise the Lord for that. So Brother Will, if you'd come while we prepare to be baptized.
Just to rest upon his promise. is so good. We'll just sing it a cappella.
God is so good.
This is Anna Jones. She says her water's warmer. Anna, have you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior?
Yes.
And Anna, upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and in obedience to his command, I baptize in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried together with him in likeness of death. Raised again to walk in newness of life. Brother Dave Jones. Dave, have you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior?
Yes.
Then Dave, upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and in obedience to his command, I baptize in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried together with him in likeness of his death. Raised again to life.